Why was Jesus telling the stories that people could only partly understand? Why was he making people think and not telling them the answers? We can almost feel the frustration of the disciples when they ask Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Today on Cross Connection, we will take a fresh look at the well-known parables. Welcome to an interactive live study of the Word of God. I'm Oleg Kostyuk, host of Cross Connection. Thank you for joining me today. And I would like also to thank you for being a part of our ongoing conversation about the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Today, I would like to encourage you to join our growing community on Facebook and on our website. And don't forget that we are coming to you live right now. And we want to hear from you throughout the entire show. And Sergio, what is the main question of our show today?
Well, Oleg, today we're going to dig deep into the mysteries of the parables. But we want to do more than just understand them, we want to live them. In his explanation of the parable of the sower, Jesus concludes with, "He who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces." So that leads us to tonight's question. What does it mean to bear fruit, and what are some ways that we can produce?
Thank you, Sergio. I would like to encourage you to follow our discussion. So pick up your Bible and follow along. You definitely want to get a copy of today's free offer. Today we prepared a special study guide for you. I believe it will strengthen your relationship with Jesus, and perhaps you will be able to find the answers to some of your questions regarding Jesus' parables. To receive it, simply go to our website and click on the free offers tab. Have you ever stepped into a hedge maze? They are labyrinths laid out sometimes in gardens or sometimes in fields. In fact, the largest hedge maze in the world is in Hawaii. I have a friend who told me that he got lost there quite a few times. So what do you do if you are lost in such an amazing maze? The only way perhaps is to look at the map. But again, you need to find two things. First, where you are, and second, how to get to where you need to be. But even the map itself is a maze full of passageways. As you know, it is not an easy task to find your way out of a maze. Many of Jesus' parables are like mazes, designed to challenge his listeners to work out for themselves how to get to the heart of things. But sometimes, the hearers simply got lost, and Jesus then provided a map so they could see where they were. And today, we will take a closer look at one of Jesus' parables. And trust me, with the help of the map that Jesus gave to us, we will be able to get to the heart of things. And joining me today are Sergio, Christina, and Alvaro. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
How is the weather today?
Not bad.
Not bad?
Warmer, yeah.
It's getting warmer. It's getting much warmer.
It is.
I'm excited about our topic today because we will be looking at Matthew chapter, and you can help me. Matthew chapter
13.
13, that's right. Matthew chapter 13. So we almost reached the heart of the gospel according to Matthew. Mm-hmm. And before we go into Matthew chapter 13, let us pray, and then we will make a short overview of something very interesting. Christina, would you like to pray for us, please?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here tonight, to study from your word. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us, and your Holy Spirit would lead us and grant us spiritual wisdom and understanding, Lord, that you may be glorified. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, in my introduction, I told that I have a friend who got lost in one of the largest hedge mazes in Hawaii.
That's stressful.
And I can.
That's really stressful.
Do you know who that friend was? It was Sergio.
Really?
He got lost a few times there. What were your feelings when you were lost in one of those?
You get a little frustrated, I guess. Yeah. But you know, I get lost in the office here, so
okay,
you know, so I get lost anywhere.
So sometimes you get lost,
right?
And it seems like the disciples, when they reached to the point when they heard Jesus speak in the parables, they were also kind of lost, and yeah. We will see in a minute how it was happening. But before we go there, let us make an overview of the entire gospel according to Matthew.
Okay. Right.
Because we remember that a text without a context is just a pretext to what we want it to mean.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get the real understanding of the text, we always need to take into consideration the entire context. And if we look in the Gospel according to Matthew, we will see that the main purpose of the Gospel according to Matthew was to portray that Jesus is long-awaited King and Messiah. Okay, so if we go to Matthew chapter 1, what did we see there? How did we see that Jesus is the King?
Of the genealogy?
The genealogy, yes. In the genealogy, Jesus is presented as the long-awaited king from David's...
Son of David.
The son of David.
Abraham.
Exactly, the son of David, the son of Abraham. If you go to chapter 2, there is somebody acknowledged that Jesus was the king.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who were those people?
The wise men.
The wise men.
The wise men who came.
The wise men came and they said, you are the king. Where is the king? Where was he supposed to be born? Let's go to chapter 3. Here we see a very peculiar character, John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
What did John the Baptist do in order to acknowledge that Jesus was the king?
He was preparing the way. He was like, and when he received Jesus, mm-hmm. he told all the people who he was.
Exactly. So he also acknowledged that Jesus was the king.
Yes.
Then in chapter 4, there is a battle between the king, one king, who is the Son of God, and then there is the battle between another king, who is the prince of this earth, yes?
Yes.
And who won that battle?
Jesus.
Jesus. So again, Jesus is the king. Then we got to chapter 5, 6, and 7. What is recorded in chapter 5, 6, and 7? We spend a lot of time there. The Sermon on the Mount. And the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus has...
Authority,
yes. Excellent. You did it. You memorized it very well, Christina. So Jesus has authority. He is again proclaimed as one who has authority. And then we've reached chapter 8 and 9 and chapter 10 as well. What do we see in chapter 8 and 9 and 10? It's mostly miracles.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus manifests his kingly powers.
Mm-hmm.
He is the king. He can free people from their sins. He can free people from their sicknesses. He is the king, ultimately. And then we reach chapter 11. Mm-hmm. And then in chapter 11, there is a turning point. So all throughout chapter 1, throughout chapter 10, we see that Jesus is constantly king. He is king. So people have trust in him, yes?
Mm-hmm.
People put their trust in him.
Yeah.
But then in chapter 11, what is happening? You can help me.
He's rejected.
He is rejected. In chapter 11... Jesus, the king, is rejected. And then we reach, again, there is something amazing. That after Jesus, even though Jesus was rejected, he still says that I want to call you. And let us read in chapter 11, verse 28. What does it say there? Even though Jesus is rejected, what does he say?
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Isn't it amazing? Look at this.
Yeah.
Jesus is rejected, and then he says, no, no, no. I want you still to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, you know what, angels, I need 10,000 angels to come
destroy
down and
them.
Destroy these people.
Right.
Okay, chapter 12. What happened in chapter 12? Was Jesus accepted?
No.
No.
He was rejected again. In fact, he was rejected to that point that he says something very dramatic. He talks about unforgivable sin. In verse 31, let us read this verse 31 in chapter 12. Christina,
do you want to read?
Sure. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men.
So in this chapter, Jesus was called as the one who has the power of Beelzebub. Mm-hmm. So in other words, he acts with the power of the devil. Mm-hmm. But so he's rejected. And then the conclusion of chapter 12, you will be amazed now. Look at the response of Jesus in verse 50. What does he say?
For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Mm.
So even if you're rejected, there is still a chance for you to be in my friend. Mm-hmm. Not only my friend, to be father, like my brother, my sister, my close family. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you a question. We read this progression, and we see this progression. And I hope you can see this progression. If you didn't catch it, you can always go back and watch the episode one more time. You can even rewind what you didn't like and stop only there where what you like. So in all these chapters, Jesus is portrayed as the one who has authority. He is the king.
Yes.
Then he's rejected in chapter 11, and in chapter 12 he's rejected. Mm-hmm. But he still has this power and desire to accept. Mm-hmm. What does it tell us about Jesus?
It's his love. I mean, even though he's being rejected a large number of times by the people he was coming to save specifically, he still tries to reach out. He still pushes it. He still tries to knock on the door. Mm-hmm. And that helps a lot, like in our personal lives, even today. Mm-hmm. Like even though we rejected him, he's still knocking. He's still trying to reach us.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 13, we see this point when Jesus starts talking about the preaching the parables, I would say, maybe.
Yes.
He's preaching the parables. And there is one prominent theme in all those parables. Mm-hmm. What are those parables about? The kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed it?
Yes.
In each parable, he says, and the kingdom of heaven is like, and the kingdom of heaven is like, and the kingdom of heaven is like, and continues. So the parables of Jesus will be about the kingdom of heaven, and we will discover how it portrays what the real meaning of the kingdom of heaven is. Let me ask you a question now. Throughout the entire, why do you think Jesus paid such a important attention and everybody else's attention to the fact that the kingdom of heaven has to be understood? Why was it so important?
I think he came to save a world that
had gone drastically off course. Mm-hmm. That's going completely against what his kingdom's about. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons the kingship of Jesus is stressed so much, because it's about his kingdom. He's mm-hmm. king of a kingdom that mm-hmm. is unlike anything on this earth. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's being stressed over and over. The Sermon on the Mount, which, you know, we mentioned, it has his authority, but it's also the constitution of his kingdom, mm-hmm. which is completely different than the way this world works.
Good point.
We're going to live eternally in his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the least we can do is to be prepared for that kingdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's inviting us to his place. He wants us to know who he is, what his kingdom is like. Where, like, he wants to prepare us beforehand, and so we can get there. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a gift.
We can experience his kingdom today. We can start experiencing his kingdom today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Christina, how do you experience the kingdom of heaven today?
Ooh, through a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Spending time in his word, as we're going to soon read about. Mm-hmm. In developing that personal relationship with him.
So we can acknowledge today, just as wise men, just as John the Baptist, just as anybody else, that Jesus is our king.
Yes.
Yeah. And we want to be a part of his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And this is beautiful.
It is.
I'm glad, because now we will actually go and try to understand what the meaning of the parables is. And after a short break, we will take a closer look at what Jesus said about the purpose of his parables. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Cross Connection. I'm excited because today we will be joined by a person who you know. So stay with us, don't go anywhere. He will be joining us in a few moments. Okay, so we've reached to the point where we would like to understand what the parables are about.
Yeah.
And in chapter 13, there is a list of seven parables. seven parables plus one, you can say, but we will talk about that plus one next week.
Right.
So mostly seven parables. One of the first parables in chapter 13 is the parable, as we know it, you can help me?
Of the sower.
The sower.
The parable of the sower, or the parable of the hearers, or the parable of the soils. We will discover why.
Yes.
Okay. And so this parable, the structure of Matthew, he does everything beautifully, as we see. The structure is amazing, if you look at the old progression and everything. In Matthew chapter 13, the first part is the parable itself. Mm-hmm. Then there is something in between the parable, starting with verse 10. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus comes back to parable.
Explains the parable, yeah.
In verse 18 and explains the parable.
Yeah.
So there is like, so to speak, a sandwich. So there is bread and there is something in between.
Something
vegan meat or something else. I don't know.
You can call it anything.
So there is something in between. And let us start from that in between.
Okay.
Because something that is in between is also very important. And Christina, would you like to read for us Matthew chapter 13, started with verse 10 through 16, through 17?
10 through 17, mm-hmm. Sure. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it."
Okay, so imagine those disciples, furious disciples, approaching Jesus and saying, "Why do you talk to them in parables?
Right.
Why do you speak to them in parables?
Right.
Stop doing that. Just say it plainly."
Right.
Okay, so tell me, what was the purpose of the parables? Verse 11, probably shed some light.
Yeah.
Because it seems that those who will be given to them are going to know, and those who don't are going to stay in the dark, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you do something specific for a specific target, that you need the other person to do something in order to hear it. It's not that plain, that open, because it requires an action before it can be understood. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the purpose of the parables. And here we see that the disciples were wondering why was Jesus talking not plainly? Why was he hiding that information? Why wasn't he openly saying it? Mm-hmm. Each one of the stories also teaches us a lesson in itself, the story, but has a meaning. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't have that much intellectual knowledge, you'll hear the lesson of the story and will teach you a huge lesson. But if you went further deep, will teach you something deeper.
Yeah. So it's all in levels.
Yes.
Yeah. You can reach that level. Here Jesus talks about something that is very interesting, and maybe somebody will have that question. And by the way, you are welcome and you are encouraged. We would like to encourage you to participate in our discussion. So if you have any questions or if you have any comments, let us know. Comment. Mm-hmm. And there is one verse in verse 11. Because it has been given to you to know what?
The mysteries
of the kingdom
of heaven. Mm-hmm. But to them it has not been given. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I heard, what do you think about this verse? Because sometimes I heard that, this all Christianity is something mysterious and full of all those symbols and Dan Brown style. I'm not just talking about anything, but like conspiracy, all those things. And especially there is one gospel, the gospel according to Thomas, which is full of mysteries, all kind of mysteries. So does it mean that Jesus implies that Christianity is mysterious? and full of those sacred mysteries?
No, I think Jesus is implying that there are hidden truths that he wants to help us understand. Mm-hmm. And to do that, he spoke to them in parables, mm-hmm. which one, taught a lesson, but two, perhaps it spoke to them in a way that they could understand by using simple things that they can relate to, mm-hmm. to explain mm-hmm. these hidden truths.
Okay, beautiful. This is a very good point.
Yes, I see it. I don't know why. While you were reading it, I thought of the cloud with the Israelites and the mm-hmm. Egyptians. The cloud enlightened the path of the Israelites, but it was a
fog. So we are going back to the story of Moses.
The Israelites were going to the Red Sea, and there was a mm-hmm. cloud. And for the Egyptians, it was a fog.
Yes.
It was a mystery. It was like they couldn't mm-hmm. see, but it was a light. It was guiding the ones who were on the right side. So if you're on the wrong side, mm-hmm. it will be a mystery. It will be really complicated. If it's mm-hmm. on the right side, it's the way it's pointing.
Great point. I'm excited because we have an expert with us. And that expert is Dr. Derek Morris. Pastor Derek Morris, thank you for joining us today.
I'm happy to be with you for this important study.
Exactly. And we would like to address this question that we are struggling with, maybe. Mm-hmm. The mystery of the parables. Why did Jesus say that for you the mysteries of the kingdom will be opened, but for some others it will be a mystery?
Well, the real mystery of the kingdom, I think, is who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. He's the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. But if Jesus had said that openly to the whole crowd, there were enemies ready to stone him. Mm-hmm. So I used to think Jesus wanted everyone to understand his teaching. But really, he just wanted those whose hearts were open to truth. Mm-hmm. So the Spirit would guide them to understand the lesson of the parable. But his enemies were looking for a cause to attack him. They would see but not perceive. They would hear but not understand. So, mm-hmm. but the real mystery is not some kind of secret knowledge. Mm-hmm. The real mystery is what God is doing in Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the mystery that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Emmanuel, God with us. And that truth is being revealed to his followers.
This is great. So thank you, Pastor Derek. We will come back to you shortly. Look at this picture. So we talked about the all 13, 12 chapters.
Yes.
Jesus is the king, and then he is rejected. Mm-hmm. People want to kill him.
Yes.
And here he comes out and starts preaching in parables now. Mm-hmm. Openly, but in parables. Mm-hmm. Because he wants this message to be received by those who have ears. Mm. Mm-hmm. And let us open. This is good. I learned a lot today.
So really good.
I encourage all of us to learn it as well. So let us go to the first parable. And let's see how mysterious that parable is. We are in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through through 9. And Sergio, if you could read it for us, please.
Okay. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
So immediately after that parable, disciples approached Jesus and said, Why do you?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Complicated, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there is something amazing that I want you to note. In verse 13, so it says, on the same day. So that is why it is important to remember what was in the previous chapter. So there was a rejection of Jesus. Then Jesus calls the one who were close to him as his brothers and sisters. We read about it. And then he walked out of the house and sat openly
by the sea. So this is an immediate reaction to his rejection then.
Yes. Yeah. What would be your reaction to rejection?
Go somewhere else. I mean, like,
right.
Hide
in the house.
Like, if no one likes you,
Don't like us on Facebook.
Yeah, just hide. Yeah.
Exactly, you just hide. But here Jesus openly walks out and starts preaching in parables.
Yeah.
And who are the main characters of the parable?
The sower and the different kinds of soils.
Okay, the sower, different, the seed. The sower, the seed, and different kinds of
soils.
So there are, there is a sower, who what, and let us see how the sower looks, because sower, it's very important for us to understand who the sower, what the sower looked like. He had a bag, and you can see it on the picture right behind me. Whoa. He had a bag, and in that bag, he had seeds. So whenever he would go, he would cast the seed around. Mm. And you know, there is one interesting word that you know. That word is broadcast. Broadcast on television, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That word actually comes from agriculture. Broadcast. And that word means to cast the seeds. Hmm. And in 1921, and you can correct me, 1921 or 1913, it was used for radio.
Oh, really?
Yes, so before it was only in agriculture.
Hmm.
So even now, we are casting seeds. So whenever you're watching, this is the seed program. So we are casting the seeds.
Broadcasting the seeds.
So there was the sower with the seeds who was broadcasting.
Yes.
And then there is four soils. What are those four soils? Help me. The first one. Christina, what is the first one, the first soil?
The first one was stony places.
Or the wayside.
The wayside.
The wayside.
Oh, I'm sorry,
the wayside.
The second one was the stony places.
Okay. So it's the wayside, stony places, and then what else?
Thorns.
Thorns. Mm-hmm. And fourth?
The good one.
So there are four main soils. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited because we will be able to see what are those four soils are. And we will be able even to see the pictures of them right after the break. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. Share your comments and share your thoughts. So we are discussing the parable of the soils. Yes, or the sower or the soils. Because if most of the time we think about the sower as a main character. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that it seems like the soil plays a very significant role.
The one that changes. The sower is always the same, the seeds always the same, but the soil changes.
Exactly. So we just discussed that there are four main soils.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's imagine. I'm not an agrarian, so you can help me if you are, or if you were there. Christina, you lived a few years in Israel.
Yes, I did.
You did. So you can shed some additional light to our understanding of the soils in Israel.
Yes, I will.
Okay. So the first soil when the sower broadcasts. Mm-hmm. Yes. So when he sows the seed, it fell on the wayside. What is usually happening when it fell on the wayside?
It's dry. I mean,
just sits there.
It's like on concrete.
Yeah. We can see it on the picture, like it's right there behind you. There's nothing in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is nothing on. It's just a concrete. It seems like a concrete path.
And it's exposed, you know, for birds and whatever to just come and snatch it off.
Yeah. Second soil. When you talk about the stony soil, what is the stony soil?
Dirt mixed with rock, and I think of dry soil.
Exactly. So it's very difficult to.
It's shallow.
Difficult. Yeah. It's a place where plants don't grow, or they grow slightly over the top of the rocks. That's not really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or sometimes they can even grow faster on top, but they don't have roots. Yeah, so whenever wind blows, they just disappear.
Yeah.
And then there is another way, which is another soil, which is weedy soil or thorns, full of thorns. Mm-hmm. What happens there? The soil is good, it seems like. Yeah.
Actually, I think it's the best soil. I mean, it's so good that it's able to grow anything and grow so fast that even thorns grow really fast on it.
But if it grows, it snatches everything. Yeah?
Yes,
right. It's overtaken by something else.
It's overtaken by something else. And then the last soil,
the good one,
the good healthy soil.
Mm-hmm. Good healthy soil. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. What didn't disciples understand there? It's so obvious, isn't it?
Teaching them how to plant.
Yeah.
Really?
But like they were thinking on, okay, Jesus is just teaching us how to put the seeds, and it's we already know that if you put it on the correct place, it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. That, right. I mean, it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. We don't know the meaning because it's so logical that it has to be something more. Mm-hmm.
But there is something mysterious because at the very end of the parable, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us ask Pastor Derek, why did Jesus use that expression, and why did he say, let those who have ears only hear?
Well, not everybody is really wanting to listen to truth. Mm. As I read the story you just referenced in chapters 11 and 12, people are just waiting to attack Jesus, to silence his ministry. They'll silence the ministry of John the Baptist. They want to silence his ministry too. So everybody's hearing, but those who hear with a receptive heart are going to gain a deeper lesson. Mm-hmm. I appreciate what was said earlier, that people are at different levels. A little child may gain a simple lesson. A profound student of sacred scripture will gain a deeper lesson. But if your heart is open, it's good soil. Mm-hmm. There's a lesson that's going to be received. I find myself listening to those stories and saying, well, that's wonderful, but maybe we can come to this later. And that is, how can my heart be good soil?
Exactly.
Because God really does want that for all of his children. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And this is a good transition for the explanation of the parable. Mm-hmm. And right now, and again, we are in chapter 13, starting with verse 18, all the way to verse 23. And Alvaro, if you could read those for us.
Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receiveth the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receiveth seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receiveth the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some to 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Okay, this is a beautiful explanation.
It is.
So what the parable is about then, what Jesus says?
The word, in receiving the word of God.
We receive it.
Yeah. The reaction of people to the word of God.
Like. Mm. The word of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And remember we talked about who is the king?
Jesus.
Jesus is the king.
So if you receive the kingdom of the word of the kingdom of God, you automatically receive who?
Jesus.
Right. Jesus. So in other words, receiving Jesus and being receptive to his word.
Right, and I like that in the explanation it's made all about us, because like we were saying earlier, Matthew 13:11 and that, if it's read wrong, can be a very troubling verse, because to some it's given and to some mm-hmm. it's not given, and you think, well, so the message is only for some people and not for other people. But you see in the parable, the seed is spread to everyone.
Exactly.
The seed hits every soil. Mm-hmm. It's us who needs to receive it properly.
So in other words, there is no mystery. Mystery is given to everyone.
Everyone.
If you want to accept it, this mystery, just accept it. Mm-hmm. It's not a mystery. Mm-hmm. Never think about it in that way. But the first soil that Jesus speaks about is the wayside. What is so peculiar about that wayside, and how can we, let me just put it this way. When we think about this parable of the sower, what soil are you, do you think?
Oh.
The good ground, because we are broadcasting now.
We're broadcasting a whole channel, so we're
a good soil.
But
no?
Like, yes? Personally, I think we're a mixture of all the soils and different times of our lives. I mean, we have all passed through each one of those steps, and sometimes we go back, sometimes we fall, and we try to jump mm-hmm. from one side, but Jesus tries to push us to go to the good ground, like go.
Okay, so if we are a wayside,
mm-hmm. yes,
and I may be a wayside, so I can see, I can feel even the seed falling on me, and I'm kind of receptive, but then I can see, kind of receptive, maybe. And then like somebody just comes and just picks it up as a bird.
Snatches it away.
So I'm very not. Maybe I cannot be receptive. I'm not receptive, perhaps. Yes. Right. So I'm not receptive at all. I'm just like a stone.
Right.
You just like that happens a lot when you're hearing someone, but you're not really hearing it. You
don't have ears.
Like, yes. You're just thinking of something else, and comes one side, comes out to the other side, and.
And also, there's some people who it seems like they don't want to believe in the Word of God. So when the Word of God is shared with them, they refuse it almost instantly without giving it thought. And it, like a stone, it doesn't absorb anything.
Doesn't get in at all, yeah.
Remember what we read about in the previous chapter when we talked about Jesus, and when we read from Matthew, that when Jesus was saying that there is this unforgivable sin, when you don't even want to receive it, there is no need for you, you reject it. You don't even reject it, but you don't see it. You just forget about it completely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is what Jesus was talking about.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, it's and it seems like the seed is not going to stay on the wayside for long. If you reject it,
yes,
it goes away.
Second soil. What is second soil?
The stony place.
The stony place. What is happening with that stony place?
Something that happens really frequently.
And this is because if somebody receives it, it grows.
Grows really fast.
But then what it says.
There's no depth, so
when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, again, the persecution arises because of the word, what happens to it?
It falls, it gets scorched.
It gets scorched.
Yes, yeah. Stumbles.
Mm. Can we be rocky soil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I mean, our religion and our relationship with Christ has to be logical and has to be emotional. But a lot of times we put it, okay, Jesus saved me, we're really happy about it. And we just put it on the good things and we are like in the church because we want the blessings, we want all the good sides of it. Mm-hmm. So when the coin turns around and it's the same message, but it's hard to live it, that's what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is the seed then? When we talk about the seed, what is the seed as we read? Is the word of God, yeah?
The kingdom of God. It's the message.
The message of the kingdom of God,
yes.
the word of God that is spread around. So we can be wayside, or we are not probably wayside, because if you think about us accepting the word of God, we are reading the word of God.
We are trying to get
to that point. So we cannot be wayside. But perhaps we can be a stony ground.
Right. Mm. And we think of thorns as an outside force, as is described here, that get in the way, but these stones get in the way too. We could have these things that keep us from having a deep relationship, a deep understanding, that are kind of blocking that.
Mm-hmm. What are those deep? Or what are those relationships? What can be those stones in your life today?
Distraction, doubt, fear, anything that prevents me from having a deeper relationship with God.
What can we do then to break those stones?
To be determined. I mean, you cannot break a stone just hitting it slowly. Mm-hmm. And you have to do it hard and persistently. Mm-hmm. One way, it's reading the Bible and praying. You can begin slowly, like just 5 minutes, but every day, just do it all the time. Because the day you won't do it, you fall down. You just keep on doing it and read the Bible. And then you go 5 minutes, then go 10 minutes. I mean, just do it progressively.
Yes.
But you have to do it, otherwise the wind will blow you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right after the break, we will come back and we will continue. It will be our last segment. We will be studying the parable of the sower. So I would like to encourage you also to download our study guide, which is full of useful information. And in order to download it, you can go online and click on the free offers tab for tonight's free study guide. We will be back in the studio to continue our discussion after a short break. Welcome back. If you want to join our discussion, the contact info is on your screen. So I'm glad that we have Pastor Derek as our expert guest. And maybe we can go somewhere very deep, but we need to understand and we need to solve something before we go anywhere. Pastor Derek, please shed us some light on the understanding of this parable.
Well, you know, we're talking about different soils, and I'm listening to people say we need to smash rocks. And but if I listen to the story in its context, soil can't do anything to prepare itself. Mm-hmm. Soil can't smash rocks.
No.
Soil can't uproot thorns and thistles. I think if we're talking about receiving the word, if I recognize my heart's hardened, or I've got a shallow experience, or I'm crowded with cares of this world, I have to cry out to the sower. Mm-hmm. I have to cry out. The sower primarily is Jesus. Now, he'll send us out also to sow seed, but primarily he's the center of this book. So mm-hmm. he's the one who brings the good word of the kingdom. So I think it's a big mistake to think I've got to try to do something to prepare my soil. Mm. I think I have to cry out to the sower. Now, I know soil can't cry out, but mm-hmm. that's the limitation of the story. But yes. but the soil is really dependent. My only choice is to be willing to be prepared mm. so that when the seed comes, it can yield a great harvest. Mm.
Thank you so much. This is absolutely good point, yeah. as you yes. said. This is great because, and it's actually, because if you think about trying to get rid of the stones, it's a burden.
That's right.
It's a burden. Because if you think about it, it seems like there is no way out.
Yeah. But well, and you look at the farming analogy, staying with that, the mm-hmm. farmer casts seeds, but he also mans the plow.
Plows, you yeah.
know? So yeah, it definitely makes sense.
So if we cannot even try to get rid of the stones by ourselves, because we are inevitably.
Think on what could soil do to a stone? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
It's worthless.
Absolutely nothing. The stones more can harm more.
Of course.
Than the soil. I mean, it's. Then we reach to the point when we talk about the weedy here, or what is happening with the weedy, with when the thorns grow out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How can we, what does it mean, and how can you explain it, and how is it happening in our life today when we just read the passage?
It says it
in
the passage specifically, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Mm. Mm-hmm. That is so true. Prevalent, and that is so true right now. Like you look for something else and you have so much in your mind, you don't spend time and the seed, mm-hmm. and you just, the message disappears, like with time, just doesn't grow.
So let us go back, and if we go back to the very last verse of chapter 12, previous chapter, and we need to remember that. Remember who was called brothers and sisters and mother of Jesus? Who were called those people?
Where were Dr. Will.
Disciples.
His disciples, the ones who were there with Jesus, and what was the will, what was the will of God? What is that will of God?
To obey him, to like
Matthew chapter 17 verse 5. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17 verse 5 just for 1 second.
17.
Matthew chapter 17 verse 5. And Sergio, do you have it?
Yes, sir. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him."
Mm. Hear him. So that is what, this was very crucial, hear him. Mm. So when we come to the very fruitful soil, mm-hmm. what the very fruitful soil can bring?
Fruit.
Fruit
mm-hmm. and produces.
Yeah.
Produces 100-fold even.
Some 60, yeah. some 30, but I mean, you can see the difference. Some produce a lot, some a little bit less, but they all produce. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the requirement. You produce fruit.
Mm-hmm. You produce fruit because you want to produce fruit.
But also because the soil is able to produce fruit. Mm-hmm. The soil has been prepared to receive a seed and to cultivate a seed to grow.
So it's enriched.
I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, yes. The seed is the one who grows. I mean, you're just the media
yeah.
in which the seed is the one who comes, the seed is the one who grows, mm-hmm. and the seed is the one who gives like the fruit
Excellent.
Within the fruit. But
Oh, yep. like this is a this conversation we're having is a good time to take a caller we have that's kind of has a comment to make about what we're talking about receiving the word of
excellent,
God.
Excellent, excellent. So, and the caller is from?
Hello.
New York. Hello.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, thank you. Thank good. You for joining us today.
Okay, when you're talking about the latter part about it, the word, I mean, we know that the sowing of the seed is the word.
Yes.
And the word, when it gets down inside of us, and we take it and we cultivate it, as the lady stated before. And once we grow with it, and guess what? And we take that seed and it starts growing in us, and we give it to somebody else, that's our fruit growing. Mm. Our fruit is multiplying when we take the word inside of us and we let it be cultivated and it grows, and then we share it with somebody else. That's our fruit.
Yes.
That's how we're sharing our fruit. Mm.
This is beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us. This is, if you think about it, this is what is happening. If the seed is in the soil,
oh,
and hidden in the soil,
right,
what is the result? Nothing.
Grow. Nothing.
But if you let it grow, it will start growing. Yes.
But like my point is, if you cannot leave the seed in good ground without making it grow,
exactly,
it would inevitably grow.
Grow. Yes.
So the seed within the ground grows. That's the same thing with the message. You cannot have the message, the gospel of Christ within you, and not let it, like, shout it to the world. It inevitably will come out.
Let us see from a practical perspective. Pastor Derek, thanks for joining us again. And I'm glad that we can ask you, what do you, and when we discuss this parable of the sower, or the hearers, the soils, what is your reaction? What would your reaction be? How do you practically represent good soil, or maybe something else?
You know, I was thinking of a 3,000-year-old scripture song. I like to sing scripture songs, and Psalm 139, it's a prayer. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Mm-hmm. See if there is any hurtful way in me." If you were using the analogy of a field, you might say, "See if there are any rocks or weeds in me, and lead me in the way everlasting," or as Sergio said, bring the plow. Mm-hmm. Don't just bring the seed, but bring the plow. I think the encouragement of this great story of Jesus really is that any heart can become good soil. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to discount 75% of the people and say, "Well, you're all bad soil."
Yes.
But any soil that opens to God can become good soil. Mm-hmm. If we allow God to search our hearts, to remove the rocks that keep us shallow, to pull up the weeds that choke out the word, and as the caller said, that then not only do we experience fruitfulness, but our lives can be a blessing by sharing seed with other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Beautiful. Thank you so much. This is truly what this parable is about. First of all, you grow in Jesus Christ, and this is what his disciples were doing. Where they were receptive. They just decided, they accepted. Mm-hmm. The only thing they did, they just accepted Jesus and followed him and sat by his feet.
Yeah.
And they were good soil because they were enriched by Jesus. Yeah. And then after Jesus was, throughout Jesus' ministry, and then when after Jesus was resurrected, what did they start doing?
Preaching.
Reaching everywhere.
And traveling all over the world.
The gospel caught like wildfire all
over
the world. Exactly. Yeah, and you mentioned the disciples, and it reminds me how throughout the gospels, they're so clueless for so much of it. You know, like they have no clue what he's talking about so much of the time. And it can be encouraging to us when sometimes we don't know exactly what we need to be doing, how we can be producing fruit. Sometimes it's important to look at this analogy and see that sometimes plants take a little bit of a while to grow. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, fruit will be produced.
And it's also something good to know if you're doing the correct thing or you're like in the right path. The fruit part, I mean, if you're producing fruit, you're on the right path. And fruits is according to the Bible.
Yeah. What are the fruits according to the Bible? Let's find Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Sergio, you
sure.
Have it? Yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
So first, the fruits of the spirits are internal, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But then there is something else which is also important. In Romans chapter 1, verse 13, what does it say? Romans chapter 1, verse 13. And Sergio probably has it.
Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Mm.
So the fruit of the Spirit is internal, and then the fruit of the Spirit is what?
External.
Is external. So when you start preaching, start praising, because if you share love and self-control, and you're self-controlled, you have peace, you will inevitably start sowing the fruits, the seeds. All around. Pastor Derek, we have only 2 minutes left and we would like to make a conclusion of this story. So what would be your takeaway lesson from this study?
Well, you know, the real mystery here, of course, is the truth about who Jesus is. But I come back to John 3:16, that God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. The amazing message of this story for me is that God is generously sowing the truth of his word. And that every heart could choose to become good soil by allowing that sower to work in the heart. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to leave discouraged and say, well, I'm just the wayside, or mm-hmm. I'm the shallow, rocky soil.
Yeah.
Our hearts can be good soil. And more than that, the amazing truth, as we'll continue studying in the book of Matthew, that God wants to use you to impact the world. Mm-hmm. He wants to use you to bring a great message to the world, and that will certainly bring joy to our hearts.
This is beautiful. Mm-hmm. We can become the sowers. Look at, think about this responsibility to be sowers. Mm-hmm. We can become those. What is your takeaway lesson, Christina, from this study today?
My takeaway lesson is this. As Pastor Morris was saying, it's liberating that it's not up to me to prepare my heart. Mm-hmm. It's just up to me to be willing to allow God to prepare my heart to become good soil. Mm-hmm. And it frees me from thinking that I have to do it on my own efforts. It's really his work in my life.
Alvaro, what is your takeaway lesson?
I really like what Pastor Morris as well said, that we're the sowers now, like we receive the gospel. And we cannot choose only to seed in the good ground. Mm-hmm. We have to seed all the time and let God do the work.
And Sergio.
Rather than give mine, I'll give a comment we had, and I apologize that we couldn't get to everyone's comment. Yeah. But this one says, thank you so much for your program today. I have always wondered on the meaning of parables in Matthew chapter 13, but now I feel like I understand them so much more. I believe in God and try to read my Bible. However, I don't know how to have the kingdom of God in me. And if you're reading your Bible, that's the seed hitting your heart. And,
exactly.
Just need to pray to be good soil.
And our next episode will be devoted to the parables of the kingdom of heaven. We will continue our discussion. Thank you, Pastor Derek, for joining us. Thank you, Sergio. Thank you, Christina. And thank you, Alvaro. We will be back right after the break with a short conclusion. Jesus' ministry, the word played a very important role. Jesus spoke God's word. His word announced the kingdom of heaven. It is the word that goes out and does its own work in people's hearts and lives. That's what some kinds of words do. They change the way people are from inside. Jesus' parable of the sower is about the kingdom of heaven and God's word that has a potential to transform people's heart if it falls on the good ground. And the first lesson and the key question Christ is posing in his parable is, what kind of soil are you? God can help you to be the good ground. If you are the hard ground that the birds snatch the seed from, ask God to plow your heart. If you are the rocky soil underneath a soft, superficial exterior, ask God to plow deeper into your heart. If you are the weedy soil, ask the Lord to clean you so you can receive the gospel with purity. Christ is asking you to look at your life and see what kind of ground you are. The second lesson is this. The issue in the parables is not the talent of the sower. A little barefoot kid can be just as effective as a professional sower. The response of the soil does not depend on the talent of the sower as well. The lessons to be learned from this parable are very clear. Examine your life and seek what kind of soil you are. And make sure that you are following the Lord Jesus and sowing the seed. Until next week, get connected with Jesus in your everyday life and on Cross Connections.